Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to the studio. My guest today, Director of the Division of Agriculture, Arthur Keyes.
Good morning, Amy.
Thank you for joining me here in the studio again. I was thinking this morning that you are my first guest to have been on the show three times. This is your third time on the show.
Excellent.
Yeah, so thanks for that. The last time we talked to you, you were actually down in Juneau and you called in. A lot has gone on since then, right?
Oh, yeah.
Busy stuff over at the Division of Ag. I've got a list of things that I want to chat with you about, and I also want to invite listeners, if anyone is out there listening and has a question for the director, they're welcome to call us at 745-8951 while the show is live this morning from 7:30 to 8 a.m. So let's just jump right into it. Arthur, you guys have a big activity going on over at the Division of Ag, this 5 for 5 challenge. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, I'm super excited about the $5 Alaska Grown Challenge. You know, this started with probably when you were still at the division, mm-hmm. I think. In fact, you may have been a huge part of this, of how this metamorphosed into what it is today. You know, the infographic that if every Alaskan spent $5 a week on Alaska-grown products, they would equal 180 some odd million dollars into the Alaskan economy, directly into the economy. No wiggling a room about that. And so when I became director, I saw the infographic and it really made sense to me. And so I started using it. And then we started talking about what we're going to do for this summer, you know, promotion and marketing. And it boiled down to really challenging consumers. How can we challenge consumers to support Alaska Grown?
Take action
and support the economy and support the community and everything that it does is good. So we boiled it down to 5 months. And so what would that mean in 5 months? And what it would mean is if every Alaskan spent $5 a week on Alaska Grown products for 5 months, it would equal tens of millions of dollars into the economy, the community. It'd be healthy for everybody.
Yeah.
The reality is that from all the numbers I've seen from the Ag Statistics Service and from my own office, that there's not enough agriculture products in Alaska.
That's right.
For this challenge, if every Alaskan did it to make it 5 months, we would run out of agriculture products sometime in September, because everything that farmers were producing would be sold. And
that's a good problem to have.
Man, that's amazing. And so I don't know if you want to, have you seen their $5 challenges at the local grocery stores, Amy?
You know what? I have not seen the signage at the Palmer store, but you know, my husband was responsible for the grocery shopping this last week, so maybe he saw it, but I didn't see it. But I have seen the social media promotion. I got my little hands on one of the bright yellow bags that are super cool. And we're big supporters of this in our household. My kids are into it. My kids always ask where their food comes from. And, you know, back to that infographic really quick, I want to give a little bit of credit where credit is due, because, 3-ish years ago, the Alaska Food Policy Council paid for Ken Meter of the Crossroads Information Center, or Crossroads Center, I think it's called. He's an economist, an agriculture economist out of the Twin Cities. Anyway, the Food Policy Council paid him to do a study on the Alaska food system, and his information is where I developed that infographic from, that $5 a week, $187 million into the economy. And the other critical part about that infographic, I think, is that 2/3 of our Alaska-grown farmers at the time said that they could increase production. You know, you talk about how if every Alaskan ate $5 a week, that we'd run out. But at the time, 2/3 of our producers said they had the capacity to produce more if they knew they could sell it, right? So huge potential.
The I did speak with a large greenhouse grower that supplies everybody, the grocery stores and big and small. And their comments were, when I met with them last week, was they wish they'd had known about this 6 months ago so that they could have planted more. They're struggling to fill orders.
Wow.
And I mean, to me, that was like the most rapid, that was the greatest compliment I could get.
Sure.
So we've rolled this out, and within 3 weeks or less than 3 weeks,
there's been an impact.
They're struggling to fill the orders. And yeah, I was super excited to hear that. And they're like, you know, someone should share this information with us. And I'm like, well, you know, now you know. Because, you know, we don't know, honestly, you know, you've did this a long time. You do not know when you have an idea for a marketing plan,
right,
that it's going to have the impact, yeah, that you hope it has. And this one certainly appears to be having that impact. That was one success story, was the greenhouse grower. Then the other success story was let's face it, you know, farmers markets. I'm a huge supporter. I love farmers markets.
Absolutely.
Getting the local product directly to the consumer, making a directing impact on the farm economy. But it's the grocery stores that are moving the majority. When we start talking billions of dollars, we're talking grocery stores.
Sure.
And that's where this marketing effort's really, you know, pushed, is to push those grocery stores. And so, you know, Safeway has really come on board with this. And they asked me, they called me up, said, hey, we really want to do a good job with this $5 challenge. Who else is out there? And so we gave them a list of the other opportunities.
That were ready to, yep, get into grocery stores.
Producers, yeah, that were ready. That's a great way to put it. And one of those was the Alaska Flour Company.
Oh,
Alaska,
yeah,
Flour Company was ready to go. And so they went ahead and they called them, and they purchased enough product to build one full end display in the grocery store at Abbott. And they had what they called a show and tell. And they brought in all the produce managers, store managers, grocery managers from all over South Central Alaska. They flew them in.
Wow.
They had them there for a day, and they walked them throughout the whole store and showed them, this is what we expect. And they had Alaska grown in the lobby, huge, massive displays. And they had this Alaska flour product on an end display. And I went for this to just go see what they were doing.
Sure.
Showcasing at the store. And their local expansion person, who's from the lower 48, he came and found me and said, the Alaska Flour Company, he goes, for example, is that product's in this store right now, but we want to put it in 20 plus stores throughout Alaska.
Wow.
And
you know, get ready, Bryce.
Get ready. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Super excited when I heard that.
Yeah.
So I think we have some examples already of how this is going to be a win for everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, in my time at the Division of Agriculture, and even now at Farmland Trust, you know, I'm a huge proponent of Alaskan grown food and local food, et cetera. But I think it's always been my experience that once people know more about it, they support it. Like it's an easy win. I think that it's so important that the Division of Ag and all of us that are involved in the ag industry continue to positively promote Alaska grown and local food, because there's 370 some thousand people in Alaska, right? And if we have to reach them all, we have to remind them, yep, all. This is a pretty transient state with the military community. A lot of people come in and go out, and we have to keep telling people how important local food is, right?
Absolutely.
And what a huge impact it can have if you do support local. Well, that's awesome. You know, you mentioned Alaska Flour Company, and I just want to mention another little tidbit about them that I heard that was awesome. The Alaska Railroad is an industry or an organization that when I was at the Division of Ag, we worked with them repeatedly. I met with officials at the railroad trying to convince them to support Alaska grown and to showcase, you know, Alaska grown lettuce in their food cart or something, you know, just Alaska grown potatoes, anything. But I read an article earlier this week that they have committed to one local food item per meal on the railroad this summer. And they're highlighting Alaskan salmon, Alaskan reindeer sausage, and Bryce Wrigley's Alaska Flour Company products.
Yeah. Another win for Alaska.
Progress, yep. You know. And I think that, you know, sometimes we get criticism for, you know, supporting the big farmers and not supporting the little farmers or things like that. But the larger producers pave the way for everyone else, right?
You know, I think they do. And I, on that front, there's something I need to mention,
sure,
to the listeners out there, is that when we met with Safeway, they recognized that
sure,
they're really scaled up. They're geared up for large producers. You know,
sure,
they don't want to call you up and say, hey, you know, we'd like, you know, lettuce this week, or we want
radishes
this,
yeah,
week. They want radishes every week.
10 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And they want them for not just one store. They want them for all. And so we met with the Ray Nobelio. He's the head for Safeway in Alaska. And he recognized that and he said, hey, he goes, I totally get that. And he goes, here's what we're going to do is I'm going to connect you with, you know, our procurement specialist or whatnot.
Sure.
And if you have a producer, a small scale producer that maybe doesn't grow enough radishes for, you know, the entire Safeway and,
yeah,
and works within our traditional, boundaries of how we do things. He goes, we'll work with them. So if they can supply one store, we'll work with them and,
nice.
And get them in there. So we have sent the word out on Alaska Grown listserv and trying to get the word out there in other ways too, that if you're a small scale producer and you want to get into the grocery stores and you've got big plans, come see us.
Yeah.
We can help you. We can't do it for you, but we can help you get in there, help
sure.
you make those connections, meet the produce managers, maybe meet the store managers.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that you've got a direct call. You can call my hope would be that the small scale producer could call the produce manager and say, hey, I've got radishes this week. You know, I've got a dozen cases.
Yeah.
Will you take them? And I think if once we make those, get those relationships started, I think the produce manager is going to say, bring it on, get it in, get
yeah.
it in here.
Nice. Huge opportunity again.
Yeah.
And I hopefully some folks will take advantage of that and try it out. You know, selling to the grocery stores is not for everyone. It's not for every farm.
It's not.
And it's one of those things that we wouldn't say everyone should do. You know, you have to be, your business has to be grown up and up, mature enough, ready for all those things. But hopefully some folks will take advantage of that and we'll see some expansion.
And it's to be fair here, we also met with Fred Meyers. They're
sure.
they're purchasers of
yep.
produce and they're purchasers of meat, and they're on board too with the $5 challenge.
Yeah.
So it
yeah.
was real positive there as well.
Well, yeah. And on a random side note, I'm not sure I've mentioned this to you yet, but because of our Drink Beer Safe Farms event 2 weekends ago, which Fred Meyer was involved with, the local store manager here in Palmer came and saw me at my office. And we started talking local food, and he has some big ideas for the Palmer store, too, and is kind of rattling some cages up the chain to talk about how they can source some smaller-scale products or products that aren't available for 10 weeks. So, yeah.
That's exciting.
I think Fred Meyer's excited, too. Because I need to do this, I got to remind folks that you're listening to Ag Matters Radio, and my guest this morning is Arthur Keyes, Director of the Division of Agriculture, and we can take questions at 907-745-8951 if anyone wants to talk to the director this morning. So that's great. 5 for 5 challenge, 5 months, started in June, goes through October-ish, right?
Yep, that's
yep.
correct.
Yep. And so you've already had some successes, it looks like. And at the end of October, when you're kind of wrapping this up, what else will success look like? How else will you know that this 5 for 5 challenge worked and that it should be done again?
I think the farmers are going to know, and I think they're the ones that need to tell us that this worked.
Okay.
And
yeah.
so far, like what I told you this past weekend, the word was it's working. And,
yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out in October.
Absolutely. So I think we'd be a little remiss if we didn't talk about the weather so far this summer and the impact that is having on our growers. What are you hearing from producers?
It's cold.
Yeah.
It's cold. In South Central.
I'm wearing a freaking sweater this morning.
And it was the longest day of the year yesterday.
Right.
So it's cold. The crops are behind. Everything that I see in the field when I drive by, things are going to struggle. It's going to be, I think, a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Before we are really on step.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate, you know, but I think that, you know, I was at a farmer's house yesterday and I said, how far behind do you think you are? And he said, well, ma'am, look outside, because it was kind of a cold, dreary day. I was like, okay, right. You know, I mean, they don't have a magic wand. They don't know exactly how far behind they are, but a few 80 degree days back to back and it would sure help, right?
Yeah, I think things would really jump out of the ground if they did that. But
yeah,
it's cold.
Yeah.
This is cold.
I heard about a producer in the Talkeetna area who was like 3 weeks behind even getting his potatoes in the ground because of the soil temperature. It just hadn't gotten to where it needed to be. And it makes you a little nervous. But you know, I think it's also very cyclical. And we've had a couple of really nice summers here in Alaska the last couple of years. And so this is kind of maybe more normal.
Yeah, last summer was so nice.
Yeah.
I mean, everything, things were early. It was just a nice summer. And
yeah.
So, yeah, we're following it up with, let's just call it the normal Alaska.
Yeah. Okay. Let's not lament on that any longer. Another hot topic at the Division of Agriculture right now, which I'm a little bit partial and passionate about because it's one of the programs that I ran for 10 years when I was there, is the Farm Family of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's exciting stuff.
So you guys are accepting nominations right now for Farm Family of the Year through the end of June, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that award. What are you looking for in a nomination for Farm Family of the Year?
What we're looking for, I think we're looking for people that have contributed to agriculture, that have a significant, profile. They've done something that is notable.
Sure.
And
known in their community.
Yep.
Cool. And it's, so that's an award that started, I think, in 2000. Yeah. And
Palmer Produce, I think.
Yeah.
Very first winners.
The Hubert family. Yep. Oh. And it's an award that's given out at the Alaska State Fair.
State Fair, and usually the governor or some of his staff will be in attendance, but typically the governor's.
Yeah, there. Yeah, to give that award and talk about the family. And it's just a really nice reception there at the fair that evening. And I hope that if folks are listening and they'd like to hear more or learn more about that program, I assume it's all on the Division of Ag's website.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, which is what? What is your main website at the Division of Ag?
Our main website?
Yeah. Sorry.
AlaskaGrown.com?
Yeah. DNR.alaska.gov?
Yeah, DNR.
Yeah.
Right.
You have another marketing website right now. Did you want to talk about that one?
There's a brand new one.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do it justice, so I'm not going to talk about it.
Okay. All right. So if you're looking for the nomination form for Farm Family of the Year, just go to the main Division of Ag website and it'll be there.
Right.
Probably under What's New or somewhere in there. Somewhere on the marketing page, it'll be there. But again, nominations are due by June 30th, and the review committee takes a look and votes, and hopefully you get some good nominations this year, and another very deserving family will be recognized.
Absolutely.
In August. Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a really nice honor, and one of the other cool things that happens at that reception is that past recipients of the award typically come, and it's just a really nice community event. You get to see these really well-respected farm families from across the state that kind of gather one night. And that doesn't happen very often. So
no, everyone's busy working, especially in the summertime.
I know. And that is kind of a hard thing about it is that it's, August 24th or 25th, something like that. It's a hard time to get away.
From past years, everyone is, they're dusting themselves off and coming to the fair. And,
yeah.
And it is a good event and great time to see your neighbors. And
yeah
it's fun.
I can even remember a couple of years where we had a family that was nominated that we really wanted to give the award to, and they declined the award because they knew they could not get to the fair, in the middle of August or in the tail end of August. They just knew they couldn't be away from the farm.
Because it encompasses people from all over Alaska.
Absolutely.
And last year, the winners were from Delta Junction.
Yep.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been families from the Kenai and from the Fairbanks area and quite a few South Central families, but so get your nominations in, and that'll be fun to see who is the recipient of that award this year. And full disclosure, the Pettit family, the Seaman Pettit family, was the recipient of that award two or three years ago, and it was a really nice honor.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. One more reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio, and our guest is Arthur Keyes, Director of the Division of Agriculture. I was doing my math this morning. Do you know how long you've been the director?
One year, 5 months. And a couple days.
Tell me your top three highlights. What have been the coolest things that you've experienced as the director in your first 17 months?
It's been such a rush.
Right?
It has gone by.
It's hard to believe it's been that long.
Yeah, it's gone by in an eye blink. It's been amazing. As far as accomplishments go, I would say transitioning McKinley Meat and Sausage to the private sector.
Right.
Probably one of the greatest accomplishments.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that was incredible. I was going through the historicals and had a little bit of studying I was doing on that. And one of the things that I came across is one of the previous directors from that was there in 2002, Rob Wells. His commentary on it was, "This is the greatest challenge of my career." Has been McKinley Meat and Sausage. He said that. And then
I think one of the last times you were on the show, former director DeVilba said the same thing.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. And to to move that into private sector, it just that accomplishment was huge. Yeah. And the challenge was quite great too. So right. Very excited about that.
And we had them on the show last week, and by all accounts and measures, it seems like it's working. I mean, we're only a month in, you know, I mean, time will tell, but it seems to be working.
You know, my concern with this, just because I signed the paperwork to sell that to Greg.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I quit, you sure. know, working on the issue. So actually Greg and I are, you know, I talk to him quite frequently, and even Shannon check in, see how you guys doing.
Yeah, good.
You know, what's going on. And I would say, you know, they're dealing with the infrastructure needs of the plant, sure. you know, fixing the lighting, working on some of the plumbing issues and tackling those challenges and solving them in a way that's going to bring longevity to the plant.
Yeah.
Instead of just band-aiding it and fixing it, which is, you know.
Yeah. Their hands aren't tied the way yours were.
Their hands are not
tied.
And not just my hands, but the previous directors before me, their hands were tied.
Sure.
And so some of the things that I learned, you know, when I became directors, I'd ask a question, why is this? Or why this doesn't necessarily make sense to me, because I come from private sector.
Right.
I am an entrepreneur at heart.
Yeah.
And
get it done kind of guy.
I'm gonna get it done. Yeah. and get it done in a way that makes sense and it's profitable and it's for the long haul. And so as I became director, some of the things that I would see didn't make sense to me. And so I'd start inquiring, what's going on here? And they say, well,
here's why we did that.
and so to me, some of those things, you know, well, there are opportunities there. And I think that Greg and Shannon are tackling those opportunities. They're fixing them.
Yeah.
And it brings me comfort to see that the way that they're doing it is what it looks like to me is that plant has a chance to have some longevity to it, you know,
good.
For the long haul. And so I am in touch with them, in contact and making sure things are going well. And by all accounts, I think they're doing a fantastic job right now.
Yeah. Well, kudos to you and all the staff at the Division of Ag and the Board of Ag and everyone that was involved in that, because, you know, huge accomplishment. You're right. So that's one. I said three. What are your other two for your first year and a half?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I love marketing. I think that is just a beautiful puzzle to put together, helping people understand your message and your story. And this 5 for 5 challenge, I feel like I think that is definitely something that I'm very proud of.
Yeah.
I think that in October, we're going to see some anecdotal success from the farmers that, hey, I sold out. I was a vendor. Yeah. I was never a vendor before. I've always wanted to be. I became one. I think that's going to be a real positive thing that we look back on.
Something that you put on your resume when you move on.
Yeah.
Well, and I just have to throw out that, As a former employee over there, to pull this off, this 5 for 5 challenge in a budget cut year, in a year where budgets are insane and you have to be so tight and so careful with the money that you're spending, to me is another huge accomplishment, because I know that your staff over there has been very creative in finding ways to make this work without a lot of dollars behind it.
And I sat down and we had that conversation. How can we do this?
Yeah.
You know, there is low cost ways to do this.
Sure.
Know, using social media,
using
earned media where, you know, I've been on, for this challenge, I've been on.
You did the circuit. Yeah.
Yeah. I did a circuit. I went on KTVA. I went on KTUU multiple times. I went on Alaska Public Media.
Yeah.
We've been on the radio multiple times, not just this time. So tremendous amount of earned media that would have added up to tens of thousands of
dollars.
Absolutely. And but my staff told me that our cost to do this promotion, and we are working with Fred Meyer's, Safeway, Save You More.
Are Three Bears or Walmart getting involved?
Walmart's on board, and as are the AC stores out in the bush.
Oh, very good. That's incredible.
And the cost is $42 per store. That's what we've spent on this.
Wow.
$42. You find another ad campaign, a marketing campaign, that's going to have people going, yeah, I'm running. I wish I knew, because I'm selling so much more stuff. That's done with $42 per store.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an incredible value.
Absolutely.
So.
Nice work.
Yeah, very excited about that.
Yeah.
And So, and then the...
What's one more? You got one more?
Well, you know, getting through, I would say this, becoming director in these fiscal times has presented its own opportunities.
Unique set of opportunities. Yeah.
Opportunities and unique educational moments.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would say that needs to be on there, that shepherding the Division of Ag while this is going on. I think that is also, it's an accomplishment.
Absolutely. Very good. Well, we've got a little bit of time yet. And I have been also thinking about some of the other sections of the Division of Ag that aren't as popular or well-known. I had your head agronomist and kind of leader of the PMC, Rob Carter. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago. So we kind of got an update about what's going on out there. And we've talked about the marketing program a little bit. But the other couple of programs, anything happening in the land sale section that you can throw at us? Like, are there any upcoming sales or opportunities for folks to get involved there?
Yeah, unfortunately, with the budget situation, and if for people that are unaware, I don't know how you could be, but every state employee got a layoff notice June 1st,
right,
for a potential government shutdown July 1, and we were slated to have a land sale up in Kobe North.
Okay,
and that we've had to postpone that due to the potential disruption in state government. So, let's just assume that the budget, you know, a shutdown would be very temporary. We are planning now. We're pushing that to August for a land sale in August.
Okay.
And yeah.
Opportunity there. Another reason to stay connected or get familiar with the Division of Ag's website. I think there's a spot where you can sign up for notifications for those land sales when the pamphlet is put out, et cetera. I think on your website there's a spot for that, right?
Yeah. Of course there is. Yep.
Yeah. Good. And what other sections or what else is going on at the Division of Ag that you can tell us about that we don't know about? You talked about your top three accomplishments. So moving forward for the next year and a half, what's on the list? What are you looking to do, or what else can you tell us about?
Well, I think the land sales, I think there's some opportunity there. I think access to land. I mean, you're with the Farmland Trust,
yeah.
You know, your goal is, or one of your, I think one of your goals is to connect young farmers
Absolutely.
With the land. And I think that's also very well parallels nicely with what my vision is.
Sure.
I think that the opportunity for a young farmer to come into this with without taking on, you know, a tremendous amount of debt. I've never been a big fan of debt.
Sure.
Means that they're going to need access to low-cost land.
Yep.
And I believe that one of the farming opportunities that exists right now is a smaller acreage opportunity. So we're talking 20 acres.
Yeah.
Or even 10.
Yeah.
But you know, some less than 40 acre pieces. And a young person, I think, could go into a 20 acre parcel, clear a reasonable portion of that and be in production within a year or two.
Yeah.
You know, clear some trees and put an acre of that into, you know, grow radishes.
Yeah.
I mean, as absurd as that sounds, like, what's a radish? Well,
you can't get a local radish in a grocery store.
You can't. And honestly, when I walk into a grocery store, I see nothing but opportunity.
Yeah.
Radishes grow fast. 30 days, you put a radish seed in the ground. 30 days later, you're
harvestable size.
Yeah, you have a harvestable radish. So that's an
and
example.
And they want them. I can tell you that. The grocery stores want them.
Absolutely. It's a sweeter product.
I know a grower that grows them that sells them at the farmer's market, and the produce managers have been harassing him to bring them to the grocery store, and he just keeps saying no. So.
Yeah, doesn't want to, yeah. So I see an opportunity, a young person getting into a smaller piece of land, looking at what his opportunity would be. And the example I would use would be, say, be radishes. If you put an acre of ground into radish production, and if you worked out all the nuances and were able to get that into the grocery stores, that 1 acre could be enough to fund the rest of your farm development. I think it'd be some serious money.
So does Kobe North address that? Will there be some smaller parcel size sold?
It's large.
Okay.
No, it's large, but the discussions are ongoing with my land staff about how can we create these smaller parcels that are conducive to this kind of agriculture development.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to see happen. I'd like to see more farmers come in, smaller scale, less debt load necessary to produce the farm and make it work. And then also opportunity for expansion, because a young man that comes in and does an acre of radishes or whatever. And
Or young woman.
I apologize, Amy.
No, that's okay.
I certainly didn't mean anything by that, Amy. But young person that comes in and creates that opportunity and builds their farm. I think if their vision's so great, they need more land, I think we need to have that available too. So I think there's a multi-phase approach to land sales, and that's how I want my land staff to start looking at things. But from my perspective, it's like turning a ship. You don't just turn on it on a dime. You've got to start changing how people are thinking. And, you know, me explaining that there's this opportunity in radishes, you know, well, there's an opportunity in radishes. Well, maybe there's an opportunity in broccoli, or maybe there's an opportunity in chickens.
Or goats.
Or whatever
Lots
it may
of
be. Young person walks in and says, this is what I want to do. Well, I think we need to have some land sales tailored to these smaller scale productions.
Absolutely. I'm glad to hear that, because that's a change in perspective from previous administration. But Arthur, our time is up. I just heard the 8 a.m. whistle and time slipped away from me. So I apologize. We can't get to any more of your exciting stuff that's going on at the division. But thank you for joining me here this morning, and closing thoughts.
You know, thank you for having me, Amy. It's really cool that I'm your three-timer and your first three-timer. And I look forward to coming back, and thank you so much for having me.
Perfect.
This is a blast.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.